Welcome back to The Lobby. I'm Jonah Jupp.
I'm Danny G.
And I'm Owen Williams.
It's The Lobby! Go!
Pro League. The Lobby. Never lose that, okay?
Oh, no, we're never losing it. Never
losing it. Hey, look, I've missed you guys and I've missed hearing this. How have you guys been, though? It's been a while since the big day.
I know. Yeah, no, I've been good. Owen, you been good?
Oh, yeah. It's been good.
It's been enjoyable. Very good.
Have you had a holiday yet? Or have you just not stopped?
No, it's Robert's on holiday, though.
In the esports department.
Robert, our head of esports, is on holiday.
Someone's got to have a holiday after all that work.
He's taken one for all of us. So, no, it was good. We're glad it's over, but also sad it's over.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're glad to see that it was a success, but also sad.
I mean, I don't know if it's too soon for us to be talking about this.
Okay.
XG.
Owen?
Yeah, I mean, so clearly the focus for this one was Rocket League as our inaugural tournament. Mm-hmm. We want something bigger. We want something better. Obviously, we
Overcooked.
Have to...
Overcooked.
Shout. We know how much you love that one.
Yeah, I do.
That's the go-to split stream game.
Split screen.
Screen.
I mean, where? Yeah.
It's a wonderful.
I'm going for that.
Well, whether we do it or not officially, me and you, brother, we are doing Overcooked.
We can include it as like a little segment of season two that nobody knows about apart from us.
Yeah, okay.
Overcooked League.
Yeah, it'd be good. But yeah, we're looking to expand to another game, potentially.
Yeah.
We've got a keen eye on sort of the sim racing community. I will say that much in terms of what we're looking towards.
Well, look, the event was absolutely incredible. We're going to take a look at a highlight reel in a minute. We're going to look back. I'm going to take you back there. So you described it as the TARDIS, the arena. Insane venue, right?
Yeah.
Like the LEDs, the screens, and... you guys were just so busy, I barely saw you that day. So what did you guys get up to before we have a look at the highlights?
I mean, I was running around after the players, making sure I'm in the right place at the right time. Chaos at some points, making sure they weren't losing their heads, especially when they lost. But no, it was great. Jumping back on the analyst desk for the start of the show was awesome. I mean, a bit of a throwback to my casting and analyst days. It was awesome. And Owen was busy. Look at the talent, weren't you, mate?
Yeah, absolutely. Talent management for me. So that was... pretty much organizing the run of show from the host and the caster perspective. What were the roles of everyone on the day? Obviously, we had rehearsals in the morning and the day before from the show. And so sort of acclimatizing everyone to the setup, what the transitions and the throws are going to look like, what the narrative talking points are going to be, and shaping everything together. So it was a busy time, especially as we had some changes on the day of the show as well. So it was very much sort of knuckling down, making sure everything's tip-top. And then, jumped in the booth myself.
Yeah, for sure. They're all just an awesome bunch of people, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, from Relic to Sir Pegasus to Hazard, he was fantastic on the in-game cameras, by the way.
Brilliant.
Like, non-stop observing some of the best moments and got some of the best shots of some of the team's best goals.
Can we have a look at him?
Yeah,
let's have a look. All right, let's have a look. Let's go! BSBS!
Trolley. Josh will drop this one down. Oh. Zatek is there. Gets the double! And what a time to produce magic like that. Remember, this is triple championship point. There's the shooting opportunity! And Josh makes it cash fake. There's a chance for Josh now. Up he goes. Will it reach? It does. It's into the top left. And BOB respond again. And Zatek will be able to clear here into the empty net. Seemingly out of nowhere.
It's out of time, folks. Boost over ball. BFBS champions.
BFBS Pro League. The Lobby. Let's go. Didn't that just take you right back though to the day?
I know it did. The energy was electric in that main theater. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, the families were off on their feet. Everyone in the arena, from productions, everyone was literally on edge. I mean, for anyone who didn't know what happened, like, the reverse sweep. So essentially, Boost Overall took the first game. So it was a best of seven.
Yeah.
That's right. So Boost Overall took the first game. The energy they had throughout the practices, even in the warm-up room, everything was so up there compared to the other teams. I was like, these guys have got the mentality to just bring back anything. And they did exactly that. After losing three games in a row and then slowly bringing it back, oh my goodness me. Like, it was the grand final we could have asked for. You know, it went to the final round on the final map. It was the picture perfect first inaugural BFBS Pro League.
Absolutely. And it's like that result was completely unexpected to us as well, because they were coming in as the fourth seed in the competition. Barely anyone apart from Boost Overball themselves actually predicted themselves to win.
But as they said,
that was so special.
Those lads, you know, underdog story, but they put in the work.
Were they just mates then, or were they related?
They met online.
No way.
They met online.
Because their personality as a team, I know that they don't get points for that, obviously, in the grand final, but... I said when, you know, as a BFVS family, when we left that event and we're all buzzing and we're talking about the winners, I went, I'm telling you now, in a year's time, I'm going to remember Boost Over Ball. And of course, there were so many people there as well that we met and we mingled with. I mean, like I said, you know, barely saw you guys. We were all just like shit,
yeah,
just passing each other because we were all so busy. Mm. And one person I met, very tall. Very, very tall man.
He is a tall man.
I stood on a bench to speak to him when I interviewed him for radio. Max Chat.
Yes.
I only remember his first name because we share the same name.
Dan. Penter. Yeah. I mean, I've known Dan for, it's got to be the last 5 years now. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, he was sort of he was a godfather, but for the RAF.
Yes, like, so we talked Gordon about that. Jones. He's the OG.
He is one of the OGs. So I'd say between him, Gordon, and Tim Harcourt, I think we're sort of the OG sort of people setting up for services, yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, to see where he's come after leaving, you know, the RAF now and setting up UVG, so UK Veterans Gaming, and really getting veterans involved in the space. Like, the veterans that, and we had a couple of his guys there, and yeah, everyone was so hyped on that last game. It was great. They were in the crowd.
Sat next to him. Yeah, they were absolutely loving it. Really were. But obviously, yeah, UK Veterans Gaming, it was so funny. I actually just chatting to him, I was like, you know, so how does somebody go about, like, I wanted to ask joining. How does somebody go about joining UK Veterans Gaming? Like, for starters, you've got to leave the forces. And I was like, oh, here we go. He's one of them.
Oh, yeah, we started the association back in 2019, probably 6 months before Gordon got cracking with the Navy. It was great. I've been described as the OG previously.
Okay, so how do you go from RAF, being the founder of RAF Esports, to Veterans Gaming?
Well, the first thing you do is you have to leave the services. So,
okay. Oh, okay. I should do another question.
I'm sorry. You're going to get flippant answers. No, it's I left the Air Force 2 years ago, and whilst we were playing with the RAF, we kept on bumping into veterans. We did quite a bit of fundraising for military charities. So as I was leaving, I was chatting to a few of them and realised that in the same way the Air Force hadn't had a kind of a group for everyone to join, the veterans were exactly the same. So a few of us got together and we started a community interest company, and we are now we're calling ourselves the official veterans clan for esports. Eventually everyone else will believe it too.
You've been here for a few hours now. We've seen the first three matches. Have we exceeded your expectation of how far gaming's come since 2018, 2019?
You can't put into words really what a major impact it is. So just a few of us on a Discord server, there were some Army folks, some Navy folks, some Air Force folk, each had their own server, and it slowly got bigger and bigger. And to see it effectively go mainstream, become a sport, General Tom got involved about 2.5 years ago and has just taken it to another level. And now to have BFBS jumping in behind it with an event of this quality, I've already heard a couple of the RAF lads who I worked with previously going, this is like the most impressive setup they've ever been to. It's a LAN competition with stream filming. The facilities at Stafford are amazing. So it's just really great to see it come of age. I mean, only less than six years. It's been a rapid rise, and I can't wait to see what comes next year.
And definitely really happy when we heard, of course, that, you know, the MOD were recognising it as an inter-services sport as well, that crossover and getting people involved.
That makes such a difference. And there's four sports. We've got Rocket League, which is obviously we've got this weekend. You've also got League of Legends, Formula One Racing and Call of Duty. And all of them have had international competitions for the military playing other militaries. Let's go!
Max Chat.
Wasn't doing much kicking down doors, though, in his career.
No. He's allowed to say that now that obviously he's out of the service, though. And to be fair, with how tall he is, I don't think he had to.
He doesn't need to kick down any doors.
Just give you the look, and you'd be like, yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll
do it. But he was so lovely. And like I said, he was actually sat next to me for the final, the grand final, with some of the other veterans. They were absolutely lapping it up. They were just so proud and really just, I think, enjoying themselves, which was really, really nice. And I think when you've got that mix of, you know, you've got the students, you've got the lecturers, and then we've got, like, you know, our BFVS family, the media family, and then you've got all these guys from the military community as well who are playing for the right to try and get that full grand. And it was a really big day. But then when you've got the president of British Esports there as well, I mean, what kind of pressure does that bestow upon the event? Does it at all?
I mean, Chester King, right?
Yeah.
He was sort of, you know, the first... him and, you know, his team were the first ones to really sort of establish esports in the UK. I mean, to have him there and be able to see what the military's doing in terms of esports was really special. And also see the talent that's being produced by Staffs Uni and also, you know, maybe keeping his eye out for those key individuals and those key bits of talent that he might want to snatch up for his team. You know, again, giving that opportunity, those things we want to see. It was great. It was really nice to have him there. I didn't get to speak to him much, but when I did speak to him, I know that he was very grateful to have an invite and also to see perhaps how BFES can work with British Esports to do things in the future.
Well, look, you guys were both so busy on that day, and that's why we're having this catch up now. We're chilling out to go, did you actually hear that this person was there, this person was there? Because obviously the radio team, the social media team for BFES were there chatting to all these VIPs. So we're gonna hear what the president of British Esports had to say about the event. You ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. BFES, the
lobby. Let's go. It's fantastic to see another kind of community embrace esports, and obviously what military esports is doing, what BFES are doing, is just a brilliant showcase of esports. But also it's about welfare and it's about competitive spirit as well.
And what makes you excited about military esports in particular?
So I'm really looking forward to kind of a future where we're packing out arenas. So we're launching the IDEG, as we're calling it. So this year we've got an event in November, which BFES are involved in, where we're going to be kind of announcing the IDEG for next year, which is going to be happening in the UK, and then 27, hopefully. We've already got a city earmarked for that, which I can't tell too much about now. But yeah, so the purpose of IDEG is to bring an international flavour to the tournament, you know, create the best talent in the UK to represent the UK in three different esports titles. And we're also going to be introducing e-drone racing as well. So we've got a great publisher on board for that as well.
Great. And the skills from all of those esports, how does that translate into a military context and those soft skills as well?
Yeah, so I think globally, you know, there's a hunt and a search for the best talent that you can get, and there's some fantastic transferable skills from those that are good at certain different esports. So there's about 42 recognised esports, and strategy games like Dota 2 and League of Legends, you know, obviously work in different industries, and I think will work for within cyber. And then obviously there's different skills around hacking and coding, which we'll come across. And then you've got dexterity. You've got people who have got incredible ability to operate, so potentially drones. And actually in the medical field, there's a crossover as well. So I think what is great for me to see is the respect and understanding esports is, and General Tom's done a brilliant job educating people about the benefits of using esports as a hook to get people across.
I'm curious, what's that relationship between the military and British esports for IDEG? What's it like working with the MOD for that?
Yeah, so actually in 2019, we helped the RAF set up their esports association. So I was sitting in rooms kind of promoting the values of esports, the fact that it's just a great activity and not everyone can physically or emotionally play sport, but esports can be very accessible and it's hugely diverse. So we've been working with the armed forces for 6 years, but when General Tom approached us last year to talk about how can we actually ramp this up and make it bigger, promote the UK values, the soft power that we've got, and the kind of the legacy that we have. So probably us and America have got a brilliant legacy in military esports, and now we're kind of promoting that. So the formation of IDEG is just a great evolution of that, and I think everyone's accepted, you know, what a great idea it is, and the fact that now is the time, especially lessons learnt from Ukraine, about how important, you know, people with these skill set are in working for the military.
Yeah, Chester King, what a great guy. I mean, for him to sort of flagship esports in the UK, I mean, you've worked in esports for however many years now, and you know how much of an impact British esports has made.
Absolutely, yeah. British esports is sort of a cornerstone of setting the standard, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're running an array of sort of safeguarding courses at the moment within esports, and they're doing so much work with so many different organisations within the UK esports space, not only to just promote it, but also just run things as well. Of course, they have their British esports student champs as well, which they're doing for college students and high school kids as well. So they've got so much going on, and yeah, pleasure to have them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the production and the output they make is just testament to what the organisation's doing. But
they were pretty impressed, though, obviously, with the event that you guys pulled
off.
Of course.
Yeah. And I think for them, they learned some things, and we can learn some things from them. And it's about that sharing that knowledge for our esports, which is really key. But Lieutenant General Coppinger Sines was also at the event. who is the president of UK Defence Esports.
Having those two in the same room.
In the same room, I know.
They had a big conversation.
There's a lot of presidents there. No secret service, though. But nonetheless, no, to have him there and to also witness what we're actually capable of doing, I know for him, is one of his key points now is sort of expanding that out to sort of NATO and our armed forces partners. It's going to be awesome. And for him, that's his sort of passion project now. And for someone at such a high seniority level that he is, to have that key interest in esports and implementing that into defence, what an honour. I mean, and he's such a lovely bloke to speak to. And, you know, he's got a lot of knowledge, not just in esports, but in a cyber background and in the cyber space. It's really great to have someone to lean on in terms of flagshipping esports in the UK in defence.
And he was so lovely. He also gave the FDS his time, didn't he, at the event?
Yes, exactly. Right, very busy schedule, that man.
Yeah. Let's check it out.
How does it feel to be here at the first ever BFBS Pro League?
Amazing, exciting. Great to soak up the energy, see so many youngsters and some oldsters really enjoying the day. Amazing partnership with BFBS. I mean, the way you've gone from zero to hero in this space is really impressive. Really revamping sort of BFBS's image, I think, across defence. And there's so much energy and enthusiasm out there in the armed forces for esports in all their varieties. Particularly, as you're seeing here with Rocket League, it's just a great way to see the energy sort of exploding around defence. So yeah, really exciting.
At esports, it's been a long journey, but still early stages still. Where can it go? How can it get bigger, get better?
Yes, I mean, I think you're just seeing the first baby steps at the moment. So as I say, you know, pretty much every service person under the age of 35 is gaming to one extent or another. A lot of them are playing esports in their personal time. So all we're trying to do is, with the smallest amount of bureaucracy available, yeah, because we do have a habit in defence of over-bureaucratising things. So just how we give a little bit of organisation to unleash all that energy, connect people up and let them play the games they want to play, and increasingly make sure we benefit from that, that we get the skills out of it, we get the organisation out of it, we get the teamwork out of it. And we can do an awful lot of integration, so including with industry, you know, so we can get soldiers playing with, you know, engineers in the big defence primes, in the digital primes, in these young military technology firms who are growing up. And that means we can reduce the gap between the sort of problem and the solution. And this is part of sort of lessons from Ukraine and everything else, that unless you're really well integrated with industry, you're not going to be competitive in the 21st century. So I know that's a lot of different sort of strands, from skills to integration, but there's so much potential. I think for Pro League, you know, you started with one game this year, amazingly sort of quick acceleration into this. I'd be very surprised next year if you weren't offering two games or three games. And then we're also starting this international defense esports games, the IDEG, that will be with both NATO nations and nations around the world. You know, some of the big esports countries in the world, like Saudi Arabia and Singapore, and as I say, friends in NATO. We can build a whole bunch of interoperability and teamwork across that international scene by playing games with each other.
Let's go!
Lieutenant General Commander Symes, the president of UK Defence Esports. What an honour to have him at our event, and thank you to him for taking time out of his very, very busy schedule to come to our event. But he wasn't the only high-ranking military individual at our event, was he, Danny?
Oh, no!
It was the Dow.
Are we talking about the lovely fella, the watchman?
The watchman
made an appearance. Yes,
he was.
How well behaved, apart from his first entrance. Did you see the video and the picture of
no.
what he did when he first arrived? There was a load of us. I think obviously you guys were inside the arena, right? There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
We were meeting him outside the venue.
Yeah.
And the watchman's come over. Let's clarify who we're talking
watchman
about.
Watchman the dog.
Watchman the dog, the Royal Staffordshire Regiment mascot, who is the cutest little staffy dog I've ever seen in my life. He comes over. He wasn't in uniform.
So at the time.
No, he was not in his uniform. That is the only reason that his behaviour
was civvies.
Okay. He was in civvies.
Yep.
And he came straight up to the welcome to the BFBS Pro League Grand Final sign and did a number one.
Tinkled on the sign.
Spread his scent.
He is
spread, I'm here. It's the equivalent of cutting the ribbon.
Yeah.
Right.
Is blessing the venue.
Yeah.
Nothing would have gone as smoothly if he hadn't done that.
How weird though. Obviously, you then obviously saw, you know, the watchman come in to the arena.
Yeah.
And how well behaved he was.
What a boy. Florida boy. I mean, we got some awesome photos with him. I don't know if we'll be able to put them on screen, but absolutely fantastic. He was sat in the director's chairs in the studio. It was great. And yeah, his trainer and owner are very, I think he's a sergeant major and very experienced, you know, and someone who's very decorated military, militarily to, you know, to sort of look after him. And what a show they put on, and everyone at the venue loved him. Aaron looked, yeah. it was great.
And obviously really it was the local regiment. That's why he came along.
Yeah.
Why do regiments have mascots though? I couldn't really get that answer from him. Do you guys know?
So it's more of a, it's like a...
Does Derby have the rams, right? Or something like that?
So the Mercians have a ram.
Right.
Yeah. So they've got a ram. I think it's Royal Irish have an Irish wolfhound.
Oh.
Yeah. And the parachute regiment have a, I'm going to get this wrong, I think it's a pony.
No, they don't. They do. You're lying to me.
They have a very small pony.
You are lying to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's quite a few mascots.
That makes it seem so much less scary.
Yeah, I know, right? But there's a very large collection of military mascots, and they're all very well known, and also quite high ranked. I mean, even Watchman was a sergeant, you know.
Yeah, high ranking.
I know, right? You don't know what his SJR's like. When he doesn't know what SJR is, so you report. But it must have been very good after that event. I mean, he's very well behaved, very well behaved.
Very
well disciplined, you know.
And definitely, like, raised morale for everybody, you know. You guys especially, that was a long weekend.
He even had his own pass.
Oh, I know, did you?
It said VI Paw with a little paw print on it. So he's our VI Paw. And Adam Waters, our director of creative, he was adamant that this dog had to come. And he did. He turned up.
I interviewed the dog,
and
right?
Stormed. You did?
Yeah. I have photographic evidence.
Should we roll it?
Yeah, it was very, like, it was a really difficult one to interview, though, because, you know, it was kind of like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah.
You know, like. Yeah. But yeah, should we roll the chaos?
Let's roll the chaos.
It's Sergeant Watchman 6, who's a 7-year-old Staffordshire Bull Terrier, all in black, wearing his uniform, hopefully getting promoted shortly to Colour Sergeant, but that's up to the new Lord Lieutenant.
Oh, I love this, I really do, because I mean, I'm an animal lover anyway, and I absolutely adore dogs. What is his main job then, if you were going to spell it out in the ABCs?
Representing Staffordshire and the armed forces of Staffordshire around the country.
But surely when he comes around, he's a massive morale boost, right?
He is. Well, everybody likes to pet him, and he likes to be petted, so it's a bit of a no-brainer for him and a bit of a no-brainer for everybody.
Can you talk to us about your bond, though? Because obviously we've just seen you both on the live stream inside. Look, he's having a little break now. Your bond is incredible, and the way that he listens, everybody was saying, like, oh, my dog would never do that.
He's trained from an early age by wearing coats and doing as he's told, and he was brought up with his predecessor, who was retiring at the time. So for him, it's second nature. He just enjoys it. If his coat's on, he's working. If his coat's off, he's a lunatic.
Isn't he just the cutest? I mean, I feel like I have to sort of, like, you know, I know he's high ranking and everything, but he's still a good boy.
The best.
Don't ever click that, that's terrible.
Oh, come on, look, please, Psycho, save us, bring us back to the grand final. Should we go back to Boost Over Ball? Because yes. Obviously,
yeah.
You know, any other of the teams listening to this are going to go, they've not really talked too much about me, but that's because they didn't win.
Mm. No, Boost Over Ball, they, coming into the competition, they were our fourth seed.
Yeah.
A team comprised of people with a military family background. And the three lads, they came in, you know, they're 16 to 18 years old amongst them as a team. And they came in with high expectations. They wanted to win, and they wanted to be vocal to everyone that they knew they could
they
do.
They were vocal,
and
right?
They were vocal on the stage. They took to the quarterfinals, and from the absolute get-go, they showed confidence on the stage. They were throwing the celebrations.
Yeah, we that thumb that Josh that was doing. Thumb. Like,
and, you know, they were getting loud, they were getting leery, and they were really enjoying themselves. And honestly, to see them lift that trophy at the end was such an emotional moment, because we also learned how much it meant to them.
There was tears shed, not just from them.
Tears in the studio as well. I was trying to do star jumps to try and stop myself from crying before I went live on it. That was my method to avoid crying up, because really it was that powerful for me. And you know, the whole team, I think, was affected in the same way. It was a beautiful moment.
Yeah, it was definitely. And for someone like Josh as well, who'd clearly worked so hard to get his team to that point. His dad, I believe, is a veteran as well, was in the audience there watching on. and for him to see, you know, for his career, what BFBS have done, has done, you know, during his service, and now what he's doing
for
the future. Yeah, that's true. Four grand. That was incredible to see. And, you know, even his little brother was there as well. We got an interview with him, which was awesome. Simon Hunter loved that one. But it was so great.
Well, look, we can keep shouting about it, but I think we need to try and hear a little bit of the emotion.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, shall we?
Let's boost over ball.
First things first, congratulations, boys. How does the trophy feel in your hand?
It really feels surreal. I still can't believe it. I've dreamed of this moment and for 2 months, and it's finally home.
Did you sleep much last night?
Yes. Yeah, I actually did. We went to bed at 9 or 10 just to focus on this. We did everything we could, and we managed to screw it. It's incredible.
It really is brilliant. And we saw, of course, the emotional scenes at the end. Josh in tears, all three of you guys in tears, really. Probably still full of emotion at the moment, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to take in at once, you know what I mean? Like, everything that has happened. So just being able to take it all in and process what happened is just like, wow, we did that. We managed to win this thing, win this trophy in front of all these people. It's so surreal to realize, wow, I did that. Wow, it's crazy.
And a bit of a roller coaster, Cosmo. I mean, going through that game, going 1-0 down, and then obviously surging to 3-1. Then they come back, push it to a seventh. A bit of a roller coaster of emotions, I imagine.
Absolutely. I got so nervous after our fourth game loss, I think it was. And then they started really putting the pressure on us, and I had a lot of trouble with my nerves. And I think that's what cost my personal skills a bit. But we managed to come back in the end, and we brought it home.
When you say about nerves, how important is it that the three of you boys are very close, and you obviously, you know, you coordinate your movements so well together? That must matter a heck of a lot when it comes to just quieting down those nerves and relaxing a bit more.
Yeah, well, we were talking about we're all in the same boat, and if one of us is not rowing or not working, we sink. And it's like, if someone has a problem, we all have a problem. We fix it as a team together, and with worked so much on team bonding in previous days because we haven't seen each other in real life at all. It's been an incredible weekend. We've worked really, really hard for this.
And, you know, you mentioned, of course, not seeing each other in person, but when you come, you know, it's LAN, you come to an event where there's an audience, a crowd, the atmosphere picks up. It must make it even sweeter when you win.
Yeah, I mean, a touch on the not meeting each other thing, the fact that we are meeting for a tournament is so surreal, and then being there, sat by each other, realising, wow, we are here in the arena, next to each other, we can fist bump now, wow, it's so sick to do, and 100% doing it again, boys, 100%.
It's exciting that we've got this coming up again next year, which would give you the chance to defend your trophy, defend your title.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard with the rumours revert, but we're going for it, we're putting in the work. We're going for it.
Brilliant. It's what I would have hoped to hear. And just lastly, if I can, just one word from the three of you boys to sum up the experience. What one word do you think you would use? Who wants to go first?
Unbelievable.
Can I really only use one word?
Yeah.
So odd.
I'm going to get Josh in the meantime. Should we say?
Yeah.
Magic. Cinema.
Nice. Unbelievable magic cinema. Thank you very much, boys. Congratulations and enjoy the celebrations. Go!
You guys must be so proud and so happy.
Proud dad moment.
Oh, don't. I know they're young lads.
No, I mean, to see their parents' faces was fantastic.
There were rumours that, obviously you guys are still here, so it's not a rumour anymore. This is happening again next year, and you guys have got a lot of work ahead of you, and no spoilers, I'm not going to ask for anything.
We know it.
Now. I know you guys have got a lot of work ahead, but we had over 1,000 sign-ups, and this was a first this year. Obviously, this is for anybody within the Forces community. Mm-hmm. So just genuinely, I know you just list that off for us.
So the way I'd break it down is we've got your serving personnel, obviously. You've got your veterans. You've got your service family. I'll go into more detail about that soon. The bereaved community, if you've lost a family member in service, that means it's a father. Bereaved is strictly for a father, a sibling, you know, a son, a daughter.
Immediate
family. And then also our cadets as well. You know, our cadet family, they're the future of our armed forces. But when we talk about service families, just for clarity, so service family means that you've had a grandparent or a direct family relative who has served, you know, or is serving currently. The people that have been allowed in due to have family ties, we really have taken a lot of time to vet these people and make sure they do have a family tie. It's not to say that there's not going to be anything open to everyone. By all means, our community on Discord is open to literally everybody, right? And not to say there's not going to be a tournament that's open to everybody in the near distant future, but anything that we make specifically for our military community is strictly for those people. I think that's the last thing I really want to emphasize.
I feel like this is where the T's and C's are just going to start running up.
Yeah.
Like, just so you know.
This entire series, we've been talking about your game attack.
Yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't know, Danny is a bit of a musician. And back in the day, she released her debut single, Dreamer's Dream, many, many moons ago. So using that information, Danny, we have come up with some gamer tags for you that you have to select one of.
Okay, well, that doesn't sound too bad.
We got into the Dreamer's Dream title, right?
Okay.
So you've got Dreamer Danny G, Danny Dreams with a Z, G Dreamer.
That's a good one.
Or Dreamin' G. And the last one is Dreaming, but with the three is the E.
See,
bit edgy.
I like that. That is edgy. Yeah. I'm thinking like Dreamin' G.
Dreamin' G. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Jojo Juppy, Dreaming G, and Psycho signing off from you. This has been The Lobby. Thank you very much for watching.
I'm part of the family.
You're in there.
The Lobby.
The Lobby. Go. BSBS. Pro League. The Lobby.